The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
And it is time for our book club. I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by Sinead Cuddihy from the Tired Mammy Book Club. And with her is our own David O'Connor from our team here on News Talk. And David, it was your choice this time for the book club. It's called Piranesi by Susanna Clarke. It has been controversial. Shall we just start? That's fair, isn't it?
Yeah. I will say, I don't think it was me that recommended it. We'd have to listen back to the tapes on that one.
It absolutely was David's
Thank
suggestion.
Thank you, Sinead. Yes. It 100% was you. Let's not argue about that before we start, because we've lots to argue about. So while I was reading this, Sinead, every day I would come into work and stare at David. Not in a very nice
death
way.
Stares.
Yeah, death stares. And I just didn't get it. Did you get it?
And I think, I just said to David outside earlier that I actually enjoyed it, but it is definitely, I don't know if you'd say an acquired taste. It's definitely not for everyone, despite its
literary prowess. I don't even know how to talk about it.
I'm not sure
what it's about. Yeah. David, do you want to join us?
Not really, no. I'm happy to just sit here for this one.
Did you like it?
So I'm very torn on it. I remember, like, when I finished the book, I thought, That was fine, but there was definitely an urge I had as soon as I finished that last page. I actually went back and I read the first chapter again immediately.
Oh, I couldn't have done that.
And I'd like drip.
I thought you were going to say you had an urge to throw it out the window or something like that.
But there was so many cool things about the book. So straight away, there's two epigraphs on the book that starts the whole thing off. Mm-hmm. And the first one is from C.S. Lewis from The Magician's Nephew, the first book of Narnia. And the second one is from an actual character within the book. Mm-hmm. And I remember when you're starting reading the book, you see someone called Lawrence Aaron Sayles had this quote about him. And I'd never heard of the person. I just presumed it was a philosopher I'd never heard of. But then once you read the book, you finish it, you go back and you read the start again. And you're thinking, okay, there was actually so much more to this book than I realised that I was in the book before the book had even started for me. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know what, I think maybe it should be our next book club pick as well to reread it again.
That's not happening.
That's your book club. You can do that. No, I have to say, to be fair, I actually did quite enjoy it. And it's very different. And I had said that to you
day.
That
it is very different.
You know, that's
it's
the
not,
joy of
so
book clubs. Kind
it's
of
It's
something
not something that
you know?
I would choose to read. And so I enjoyed it. I struggle to say that from that point of view in that it was different. But I don't really get it.
No.
I don't know what it was trying to teach me. And I'm not sure I liked it. Let's be honest. I don't think I liked it, David. Sorry.
Yeah. I think just to fold the listeners in a bit, if they're not aware of the book, basically the whole book is set in a house, but it's not your normal house. The house is basically...
Infinite.
Correct. Yeah. It's just halls and rooms that go on forever filled with statues. There's only two people in the house. There is the titular Piranesi, and then there's someone else called the Other.
Piranesi's not even his real name.
Mm. No, spoiler.
It's not his name.
But so basically just these two people, and all they're doing there is kind of exploring the house, but they still haven't explored it all. And they've been there as long as Piranesi can remember. But then all of a sudden, a third person appears in the house, and writing starts show up in the house that this third person is leaving behind messages. And it just doesn't make sense of what the world is. And then even Piranesi finds old diary entries, old written letters from himself that he has no memory writing. And it's a question of can you trust your own handwriting if you have no memory of writing it down? And it's just very, because then I just felt the whole book at an 11th.
See, you were selling it really well. Mm-hmm. And it sounds much better than it is. I just, you know what it felt like to me? It felt like homework, you know, and I read last thing at night and I don't really want to be doing homework last thing at night.
Yeah, and I did wonder, did David have a background in sort of Greek and Roman, you know, there was definitely some vibes of that sort of
classics. Well, he's very pointy-headed when it comes to literature.
Well, I did know that from the last time, so the book made sense to me from that perspective. But I think it's something you just kind of have to go with. Like, it is obviously fantasy, there's a little bit of mystery in there. And I kind of went between the book and the narrated version, and the audiobook is actually really good. And you kind of, if you get past the sort of descriptions of the vestibules and the tides, of which there is quite a lot, mm-hmm. and just sort of let that flow over you, I found it quite enjoyable. But yeah, it's just, it's very different. And I'm not sure that I would go back and read it again immediately, but I wouldn't be put off reading something else by the same author.
Paula got in touch with me on Instagram and said that she's an avid reader and thinks that we have the same taste in books. So she got Piranesi out of the library and said, I'm sorry, but I was bored after the first couple of lines. I'm sorry you have to read this. I will be tuning in to hear what your verdict was. But oh my God, it just reinforced that I do not like reading science fiction. I'm not sure. Thank you, Paula, and I appreciate your support. But I don't think it's science fiction, is it?
Yeah, it's something entirely in its own place. Like, I think it takes inspiration from so many different things. I think you are right, Sinead, that there is definitely a whole kind of Greek mythology kind of attached to it. Even within the story, they refer to the house numerous times as a labyrinth.
Yeah.
And, you know, a labyrinth from Greek mythology was built by Daedalus to hold the Minotaur. So people essentially think that a labyrinth is to keep people from getting in, but the truth is it's actually to keep people from getting out. So basically, the house is a prison. I remember reading it thinking, well, then who is in prison here or what is in prison here? Now, I didn't find out who or what it was till right near the end of the book. So I think there's so much there in the book that actually people can get their teeth into.
At the start, as you said, you know, it is quite a hard one to get into. But after the first few chapters, that becomes more apparent. And I actually remember saying to myself, is this a hostage situation? Is this, like, it reminded me of the Stanford prison experiment, all these different things. So there's loads of different angles you could look at it. And if you look it up online, there are a ton of threads on Reddit and things like that, with varying theories as to what it's actually about and what the outcome is.
Yeah, and I wondered why it was so critically acclaimed, because it is so different and you can attribute all sorts of meaning to the different strands of what's happening in there. I just wasn't satisfied with the ending. I felt like there were loads of things there that weren't neatly wrapped up for me, or that I was left wondering about. Maybe that's the point, is it, David, that I meant to be wondering at the end?
Yeah, I think it's like how I almost went straight back to the book to reread it again to see if I'd picked up things.
I was delighted to be finished it.
But I think the ending was actually, it was definitely vague, and I think it is kind of, it's not the conclusion I think any reader wants going into it. But I was trying to understand, like, why is this so critically acclaimed? Because the first few pages of the books are all 5-star reviews and people talking about how great it is. And I think one of the reasons for that could be is that the very final line of the book is incredibly optimistic, I think. It's very positive. And it made me think of, for the week that was in it last week, Ulysses by Joyce, that the final line of Ulysses is their words of affirmation that are so positive that when you finish the book, that kind of positivity kind of permeates the whole book for you. And that's how you think of it. I was thinking, when people finish this book, you look back and you think, wow, that's actually a very incredibly positive book, because Piranesi was in an awful situation, but he seemed to adore it and he missed it when he no longer had it.
And can he go between regular life as we understand it and the other life that he had? Because that's what I took from the ending, that he can pass between both worlds. People listening to this are going, what is she talking about now? It makes complete sense if you read Piranesi. Did you take that from it?
I think that. But then how he was beginning to see the house in the real world, I felt was him like almost coming to terms with this new existence. But I definitely think there is still that connection between the two. And that's why I think it folds so well. If you then go back to the start, I'm really selling this on you. Try and give it a go.
Trying your best to get to read it again. It's not happening.
And what did you think the world, the other world, the house represents, Sinead?
I think it could represent so many different things. And that's kind of the problem, or maybe the solution. I'm not sure. I think, you know, there's some theories that it relates to mental health. And that's sort of a world that he's had a breakdown and he's sort of escaped into this world. Whether it's in his head or whether it's a physical place, it's really hard to actually know. And I think really what it says in those pages is that, like, it's a simpler life and easier, you know, in some ways, like he is making his own food and, you know, he's fishing, he's making things out of, you know, seaweed. He's got these albatross, you know, baby albatross appears and he's looking after it. So it's just, maybe he lived in this really stressful, as the real world is, place. And then this was an escape. So,
because he's really naive, isn't he?
Yeah. But I don't know if that's just after, you know, time, sort of Stockholm syndrome, that maybe after time, maybe he was a different person before he went into this world, and that over time his life becomes much simpler. But there is a definite element of naivety, because he doesn't kind of question things. Like, one of the first things that was like a big red flag for me was this other person, this only other person in his world. He mentions, you know, Piranesi mentions that he doesn't have shoes, and the other is like, oh, I'll get you some.
Yeah.
It's like,
and then the shoes arrive in a box.
Like, yeah.
And then the guy is really well dressed, with all of his different outfits, and then he has his shiny screen.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, can you not see what this is?
I'd like to know what you guys think about the style of the book, how it's journal entries, diary entries. Do you like that when reading a book, or do you not generally like diary entries?
I liked it, I just didn't like the title of each entry. And I stopped reading them.
They're quite long.
You know what I mean, Sinead?
Yeah,
I skipped over the title because I knew, oh, this is just, I can't even remember what it was.
Yeah,
now.
I do like
the 27th day of the 6th month after the albatross arrived in the house or whatever it was. I mean, my God.
And there were some lists in those journal entries that if you're reading it in a physical format, you just want to skim past, you just want to skim through it. But if you're listening to it on audio, it goes over quite well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I quite enjoy books that are either, you know, letters or diaries, things like that, back and forth. So that, yeah.
You know, there was a whole section about the theory of, what was his name?
You're going to help me out here, Claire.
The guy who started all of this.
Lawrence Aaron Sayles.
Yeah. Do you remember that bit in the book? It was in italics. It was all like his theory about.
It went on for quite a while.
Went on for a while. I might have skipped a bit of that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Sorry, David.
Go back and read it. Don't.
That's something you missed in there. That was key.
Anything in italics, you can just skim over it, I think. It's a general rule.
I think that, but because obviously you're reading Piranesi's notes the whole time, essentially. Did you find him to be an unreliable narrator?
Yeah, absolutely. He's the epitome of an unreliable narrator. But I don't think that's his fault because he doesn't know reality.
Yeah.
So he's only saying what he knows, but he doesn't know what he knows.
Mm-hmm.
Again, none of this makes sense if you haven't read the book.
Would you recommend this book?
To certain people, yes.
Yeah, I think that's
But it's very specific.
Right answer, yeah.
You know, and definitely with a caveat that it was David that recommended it first.
Yeah, I don't. The thing is, I genuinely don't know if I would recommend it. And I'm the one, I feel like, who's batting for it heavily here.
Yeah.
But like the book we had last month, The Last Thing to Burn, I actively would recommend that. I was like, oh, yeah, you should give that a read. It will put you to a kind of crazy place. But this book, although I wouldn't recommend it, if I come across someone who has read it, I would love to chat with them about it and be like, can you please explain it to me? Because I didn't understand any of it, but I think I liked it, but I'm not totally sure.
Mm-hmm. But that's interesting that you wouldn't go out of your way to recommend it.
I don't think so. It was just too... I wouldn't even necessarily call it bizarre, but I think you go in with such high expectations of the book. It's won so many awards that I just felt a bit kind of, I don't know, I expected more because it essentially is a murder mystery book without the murder that takes place in it, because you're just finding out all this information and getting tidbits as you go along. But I think actually a lot of people would argue that the murder is the best part of a murder mystery. So you're kind of, it's pointless by
right
result.
And all of the unidentified bones as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I came away thinking, I know who some of those people are. But the folded child. Do you know who the folded?
No,
who's the folded child?
No, and I think there aren't really any explanations for that.
Yeah,
this doesn't make any sense.
I think it won awards for its difference, and it is really inventive and really unusual and really different, and you know, deserves praise for that.
And I think going back to when it kind of came out and won the award, like it won the Women's Prize for Fiction in 2021, we were in a very different place in the world at that time, and it may have just hit a chord at that time. You know, post COVID or during COVID.
Yeah.
And like, if you look at the front of the book, there's all these, you know, as you said, very famous authors loved it. So it's very literary. I think if you have somebody in your life who loves a good literary fiction, that give it a go.
Now, Sinead, you're in charge of recommending for next time.
And I think I'm pretty safe because we've both read it, I believe.
Okay. What have we
got? So I've recommended Yesteryear by Carol Clare Burke, which was the May Tired Mammy Book Club pick. And I really enjoyed it, so much so that I wanted to read it with another book club and have another discussion about it. It is basically about a trad wife. So a trad wife, for anybody who doesn't know, is somebody who's gone back to their kind of roots, living on a farm, making their own butter, making their own bread, all this sort of thing. But she's a trad wife influencer, which is obviously a bit of an oxymoron because she's, you know, espousing this trad wife life, and yet she's doing it on social media and she gains millions of followers. And then one day she wakes up in the life that she had been showcasing for so long. She wakes up in this sort of derelict house. It's not this dream house with a microwave and a dishwasher hidden in a utility room, and she has to actually live the life she's been pretending to live, and it just all sort of unfolds from there.
Yeah, and the whole book you're wondering, how has this happened?
Yeah.
It's It's You'll enjoy great. This, David, I promise you.
I can't wait to find the Greek mythology connection in it.
You probably will.
I know you will. I'm relying on you to find the Greek mythology connection. So that's Yesteryear. We'll be doing that in 4 weeks' time. Okay. David and Sinead, thank you very much for joining us on the book club. And please do get involved and read Yesteryear over the next 4 weeks and tell us what you think about it. Do get in touch with us on the programme 087 1400 106.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.